You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're pleased to welcome former Warrior, NBA shooting guard, and current NBC Sports Bay Area analyst Kalena Azubuike. And Kalena, we've seen pretty much everything from the Warriors just these first four games of the playoffs. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the way the Warriors are playing right now based on their potential?
I would say they're about a 7, and they can still get better. I just say 7 because of what happened in game 2, but I feel like since then they've been much better. They've been defending a lot better with more intensity and focus for most of the game, for more of the game than they did in game 2. And I think one of the biggest reasons has been because of Andre Iguodala. And they put Andre Iguodala on Lou Williams, and he has been fighting over screens, and he keeps coming, and he times it perfectly, and he jumps as soon as Lou Williams jumps. He knows Lou Williams really well. He was a teammate of his for a while, so he knows him extremely well, and he's playing him well, and he's giving him a really tough time, so Lou hasn't really been able to get into a nice rhythm at all. And you got Draymond on the defensive end. He's been great in this series. And then KD obviously figured out he can move without the ball, and he's been scoring really well. So they're playing well.
When Steve Kerr says they stopped playing in game number 2, what does that mean?
It just means they stopped focusing. They let their guard down. They took their foot off the gas pedal. And it was evident because in that game, first of all, there was all kinds of issues on the defensive end. And we were just talking about it at halftime. We were like, man, everything seems to be going well for the Warriors. Nothing seems to be giving them any problems on the defensive side. They got everything under control. And then everything changed in the second half. So the on-ball defense was really bad. So the help would come, and then they wouldn't be back. And then by the time they started trying to focus and play hard, the Clippers really had a nice rhythm. And then they started hitting tough shots. So that game just kind of got out of hand, and the Clippers walked them down. And then the Clippers made big plays at the end, and then you had the Landry Shamet 3. That kind of sealed the deal for the Clippers. So that was a wake-up call for the Warriors. I really feel like that was actually maybe one of the best things that could have happened to the Warriors.
Wow.
Because they realized, okay, if we don't play, if we don't focus, I know we're talented and all those things, but if we don't focus and come out and play the way we're supposed to, anything can happen.
Why did they need a wake-up call, Kalena?
Because that's how they are, man. They're human beings. You know, they're human beings, and obviously, they're super talented, and they're trying to fight human nature. And human nature says, well, you're up 30. You know, you can chill out for a little bit. You don't have to go all the way out, right? Just kind of sleepwalk to the finish line. You can just kind of go through the motions. Worst comes to worst. Maybe they get it down to 15 or 20 or something like that, and you still win the game. And that's kind of what happened. And this Clippers team is the wrong team to do that against. And they're a tough, gritty team. And they got Patrick Beverley, who's a Hall of Fame annoying type player. His annoyance levels can go through the roof. And he was getting under guys' skin. And KD didn't finish the first two games, fouled out of one, got kicked out of the other one. And Patrick Beverley was partly responsible for that. So all those things happen. A lot of things have to go bad for the Warriors to lose a game. And they all did. And midway through that third quarter onto the end of the game in that game 2. And so that hasn't happened in these last two games since then. And I really feel like the Warriors had that game in mind when they got off to a big lead in game 3. They kept playing. They kept their foot on the gas pedal, continued to focus on the defensive end, played the right way, ended up being a blowout in this last game. Mm. The defense really came up big in that fourth quarter. And you got Draymond Green drawing charges, and again, Andre Iguodala was just incredible on Lou Williams.
Former Warrior and current NBC Sports Bay Area analyst, pre and post for the Warriors, Kalena Azubuike with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. That game 2 was also significant for the loss of Boogie Cousins. What changes without him in the lineup?
Just the bigs are going to be playing off of the guards more. That's basically the difference with the big they'll have out there and Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins is a guy that you can throw the ball to in the post, and he can get his own buckets. He can get buckets where they're not assisted. And these guys that are going to be playing with the Warriors now, Bogut's been starting. You got Looney coming in games and playing extremely well. Those guys play off the playmakers. So they're going to set screens. They're going to roll to the basket. They're going to be in the dunker position and move around and react to drives. But Looney has been really good in this series, and they've been trusting him more and giving him the ball more in tough positions. And he's hit some fadeaways. They've given him the ball, rolling to the basket where there's defenders around, and he's got to make a move. It's not just a straightforward catch and finish. So he's been much better there. He's trusting his mid-range jumper even more. And then Andrew Bogut was just a godsend, really. Obviously, losing DeMarcus Cousins, having him has been wonderful. And he's a great screener. He's a great passer. Obviously, he's working hard on the defensive end. He's a presence down there. But I've been impressed with his movement. And I feel like he might be moving even better than his last stint with the Warriors when they won the championship. I feel like he's really taking care of his body. And they talked about him winning the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year with the Sydney Kings in Australia there. So he's really kind of a different person and a different player in terms of his body and the way he eats and all those things. It's really showing up. He's moving his feet. When he switches out on the guards, he's working harder. So they've really been solid for the Warriors in the absence of DeMarcus.
A couple times I've stopped to think, what incredible foresight by the front office to reach out to Andrew Bogut and bring him back. Not, of course, that they knew anything was going to happen to Cousins, but what a move. I mean, it's not as though it doesn't affect them, but to be able to insert a guy in the starting lineup and have a big who's so familiar with the team and the system is just, I mean, that's a luxury that you almost can't imagine.
Yeah, it's incredible because it almost felt like no other teams were really looking at Andrew Bogut, and he was just kind of a forgotten big that was kind of playing out his career in Australia. No one really thought about going over there to look at him, see how he looks and how his body is and everything, and the Warriors just kept an eye on him. And as soon as he got done there in Australia, he was able to come here, and he got his family over here, and it was a tough few days as far as traveling and logistics and all those things, and he didn't really get to practice much. But the great thing about him is he had been with the Warriors before, and he knows exactly how they play. Nothing's really changed other than Kevin Durant and the aspect that he brings and everything that he can do. But the Warriors overall still play the same way. It's unselfishness, it's screening, it's moving without the ball, it's all those things that he's really good at. And he can just kind of play off of guys. He's low maintenance. He's not a big that's going to demand the ball. So that was an incredible, incredible pickup. And it looks even better now that DeMarcus is hurt.
For sure. All right, so we know that the Rockets will not sweep the Utah Jazz because Utah took game four and managed to buck up in Salt Lake. What stands out to you about the other Western Conference series to this point?
Well, so Houston, yeah, they found out it's really hard to close out any team. And Utah's got some fire in them, and Donovan Mitchell really came to play. One thing that's been standing out to me about this series is the way they've been guarding James Harden. So they've just been basically sitting on his left shoulder, and they almost play behind him. They almost play behind him, so they want him to drive. And then Gobert, whoever the big is down there, they'll come off of Capella and help. And they basically rotate early. So the guard on the weak side will crack back and help the helper early so they don't throw the lob. So they don't want him to throw the lob. They want him to throw the skip pass to the shooters. And early in the game, the shooters were kind of making that shot, and you had Eric Gordon doing his thing, and P.J. Tucker, I think, knocked down some. But this one game, I guess it worked out for the most part for the Utah Jazz because they did get the win. But James did have a big game. I don't think the Warriors are going to play that way. I've seen it work a little bit in this series, but the Rockets won those other games, the first three games, obviously, and they lost this one. But I don't think the Warriors are going to play this way because you get guys into rhythm, and James is probably going to start hitting shots at some point. You make it kind of easy on him to get into the paint. He's a good decision maker. He's a good passer. So other guys get into a rhythm and guys are scoring that you don't want to score, and they're feeling confident. They're touching the ball. And then James is good enough to step back to the right. You know what I mean? He's not broken going to his right. So I'm not big on that scheme, and I don't think it's something that the Warriors are going to adopt. They'll probably play him a little more straight up and just rely on their good defense And I've enjoyed watching the Eastern Conference. Obviously, Boston took care of business. The Sixers in Brooklyn has been irritating with Jared Dudley and Ben Simmons and those guys. And I think the Sixers will probably close that game out. But Brooklyn has them fighting them, and we'll see that probably tomorrow. And who else? The Portland Trailblazers are playing inspired basketball offensively. They seem to have more of a plan, and they have other guys stepping up, and they're more of a team the way they play on the offensive side. OKC is still Russell Westbrook and Paul George take tough shots. Hopefully they play well. If not, we're probably not going to get anything else from the other guys. And then Portland's been really defending too. And this is not a good look for Russell Westbrook losing right. again in the first round.
Gosh.
But that's just kind of the player he is. I've never really trusted him in big moments with his decision-making, even though he's one of my favorite players to watch. But I'm kind of happy for Damian Lillard. He is from Oakland, and he's really showing that he's wanted to make amends for getting swept the last two seasons in the first round.
And that Game 5 comes up on Tuesday night. Kalena Azubuki, former Warrior, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Who's your MVP, though, when you think about the performances from Giannis during the season? Who would you, if you had a vote, I know the votes are already tabulated, but who would you cast your vote for?
I got Giannis as my MVP. I know James Harden averaged more points, but Giannis has just been incredible, really, on both ends of the floor. And I'll give James credit. He was a little better defensively. He is up there in steals this year, so he hasn't just been a guy that's just forgotten about the defensive side. But Giannis has the ability to affect the game more on the defensive side with his length, his mm-hmm. ability to move his feet, block shots, and all those things. And he is just unguardable, and that's without a jump shot. And guys are gapping him. And basically, every time you defend Giannis in the half court and you gap him like that, it's kind of like you're trying to defend him in transition, because he can get a running start and just kind of close the gap, and then he's got all the side steps and euro steps and all kinds of different moves getting to the basket. He's so long, it's so hard to keep him away from getting to the basket, and he'll dunk on you in a second, and he's so strong now. He's worked on his body, so he's a physical specimen. If he ever gets a jump shot, which I kind of think he will, he hit a few threes every now and then. Mm-hmm. But if he can even get like just a consistent 10 to 15 footer where he makes you think twice about gapping him that much, because I still feel like people are always going to gap him his whole career, even if he does get a jumper. If he does that, man, he's really going to be even more of a problem. He's a problem already right now, but man, I don't even want to see him when he gets a jump shot. That's going to be incredible. I do want to see it because it'll be entertaining, but well, that'll be incredible.
And on nights like Monday, where he's 15 of 20 from the free throw line, you certainly don't want to be hanging on him. We're not talking about, you know, foul of Giannis or anything like that that's going to help your call.
Yeah, yeah. Hack a Giannis, yeah.
Hack a Giannis. Oh, yeah. My gosh. That should be something new just because I like the name. All right, so you can find Kalena on Twitter at KELENNA7. He's a former Warrior, now with NBC Sports Bay Area, does the pre and post for the team. It's always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Amy. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.